Perhaps we could make a start to our prayer meeting this evening by singing together the hymn 431, the hymn 431. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Hymn 431, and we will stand while we worship God. Evening. Let us take a moment to wait before him. Our gracious God and eternal Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight that thou art our God and that we can come into thy presence, none daring to make us afraid. We thank you, Lord, for the words that we've been singing. We rejoice that already our eyes have been lifted up into the heavens and we have had a wonderful glimpse even of our God. We thank you, Lord, for thy faithfulness. We rejoice that thou hast been our guide. We recognize this evening that we are pilgrims, and like the children of Israel going through the wilderness, we recognize that at times there are the valleys, there are the places of battle, there are the dry and barren deserts as well. And yet, Lord, we rejoice that we can say that even in the most hostile of surroundings, that we were not alone. We thank thee that thou didst defend us from our enemies. We rejoice that thou didst give to us manna from thy precious word, and that thou hast nourished us, and that thou hast blessed us again and again. We thank thee, O God, tonight, that we are the living even to praise thy wonderful name. And we thank you for drawing us to the place of prayer this evening. Oh God, help us never to forget what a wonderful privilege that it is to come before the God of gods, the one whose throne is high above all, who is more willing to give than we are to ask. And Lord, we ask, come stand in our midst here this evening. Open our eyes that we might see thee. We pray, Lord, teach us from thy word. Instruct us, guide us by thy hand, so that in life that we might be in the center of thy will. We thank you, Lord, for thy people gathered here tonight. We thank thee for their faithfulness and the burden that thou hast placed upon them to come to pray for the work of God, to pray for their families, to pray for the honor of thy name. And we ask, Lord, that as we gather tonight, that thou wouldst renew our strength and increase our vision even this evening as well. Lord, we thank you for even our sister congregations. We thank thee that in various parts of the province tonight, that will be others gathering in a similar fashion and praying for similar matters. And Lord, we ask that as our prayers rise into the heavens, that thou wouldst come down and open up the windows of heaven. So, Lord, be with us here this evening. Do us good. We look to thee for a reaping and the fields where we have sown. And Lord, we pray that we might see some 60, yea, some 100-fold. Thank you for those who gathered with us in the Sabbath day. We thank you, Lord, for visitors in our midst. And we pray that thou wouldst draw them again to the house of God as well. Lord, build thy church. This is thy promise. This is thy word. Do it, we ask of thee. So wait with us here tonight and do us good. For, Lord, we pray in thy name and for thy glory. Amen. Amen. We're going to turn to our hymn books again. We're turning to the hymn 404. The hymn 404, Jesus my Lord will love me forever. From him no power of evil can sever. He gave his life to ransom my soul. Now I belong to him. Hymn 404 will stand again while we sing.
Give us life to ransom my soul.
We're turning in our Bibles this evening to the Old Testament, to the second book of Kings, and to the chapter 6. The second book of Kings, the chapter 6. I will read from the beginning of that chapter. And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold now the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore said he, Take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, In such and such a place shall be my camp. Amen. We know that God will bless the reading of his own precious word to each of our hearts. Just before we turn to God's word, let's bow together briefly in a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for the record of Scripture. We rejoice that these matters of which we read in the Old Testament is not just an historical record, but we thank thee that it's for our encouragement, it's for our learning, and we ask, Lord, that as we meditate briefly upon thy precious word this evening, that thou wouldst close us in with thyself. To that end, I cry to thee for help. O God, bring to my mind that which thou would have us to say, and teach us by thy Spirit, and prepare us for the seeking even of thy face. For Lord, I pray in thy name and for thy glory. Amen. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 6, we have the wonderful story there, or the incident of the axe head falling into the water, but that's not what I want to look at tonight. I want to draw your attention to the first couple of verses of the chapter. And we read, And the sons of the prophets said unto Elijah, Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye. In the days of the kings there were a number of Bible schools dotted across the land, devoted to the training of young men for the work of God. They were situated in Bethel, Jericho, and in Gilgal. Amongst their many lecturers was the prophet Elisha. News of his miracles spreading across the land, these schools began to take off. More and more young men leaving their ordinary employment, they came to sit at the feet of the prophet. And as a consequence, one of these schools became too small. What particular school it was, we are not told. But from its proximity to the River Jordan, there can be little doubt that it was either the one at Jericho or the one in Gilgal. It most likely was the latter. It eventually becoming too small. There was not room enough for all of the students. Some of them were forced to listen at the door. Others would have pushed their head in through the windows. And there's something special about the atmosphere that such circumstances create. Yet rather than becoming comfortable and enjoying the blessings of God, we find that these sons of the prophets, that they were not content. Recognizing that their building was too small, they said in the verse 2, Let us make us a place there where we may dwell. They had a vision not merely for a bigger school, but in being able to accommodate more students. They had a vision for their land. And more than that, they had a vision for the souls of men and women. They wanted to reach more and more with the glorious message of the Word of God. And you know, in the work of God, we need a vision. A vision for the souls of men and women. Indeed, Solomon, the wisest of men, taking up his pen, he said in Proverbs 29 and in the verse 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. The word perish there is variously translated. Some render it as to apostatize, others render it as to disperse. Whatever the rendering, they both carry the same thought, the thought of disaster. Where the people would have no vision, there would be disaster. You see, without a vision, we become vulnerable. Rather than going forward, we will end up going backwards. The great missionary Robert Moffat, returning to England on furlough and speaking of the work in Africa, there was a young man by the name of David Livingstone in the meeting. And as he listened, he heard Robert Moffat say, in the vast plain to the north, I have sometimes seen in the morning sun the smoke of 1,000 villages where no missionary has ever been. And the smoke of 1,000 villages stuck in the mind of young David Livingstone, seeking the mind of God. He eventually, coming to Robert Moffat, he said, what I do for Africa. And the poorest man in the world is not a man who has not a penny, but it is a man or a woman who has no vision. You see, as well as growing and glowing, we also need to be going. The day that we become satisfied with what we are or what we have achieved, is the day that we are finished. We need to have a vision for the souls of men and women. And I wonder, child of God, tonight, have you a vision? Have you a vision for the work of God? I don't know about you tonight, but I know that even if every seat and downstairs in the church was full on a Sunday morning and on a Sunday evening, and if the upstairs was also full in the morning and full in the evening, I would not be satisfied. My friend, what would that be in comparison to the many that live in this area? We need to have a vision for the work of God, a vision for the souls of men and women. And these young men, their school becoming too small, they were not satisfied, but they wanted something better. They wanted something bigger. And you know, tonight we need to have a vision for the souls of men and women. And so I want this evening, for a few moments, to draw your attention to these young men as they sought to build a new Bible college. I want you to notice, firstly, the problem. They were growing. We read in verse 1. And the sons of the prophet said unto Elisha, behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us. Not only was the building too small, but when we go back into the previous chapters, we discover that they were living in a day of apostasy. Jehoram, the son of wicked King Ahab, was now on the throne. Instead of learning from his father's foolishness, he continued in his evil ways and in the worship of Baal. And as such, he was not favorable to the work of God. He most certainly was not favorable to the sons of the prophets. Refusing to give them any financial aid, they were forced to turn to their own resources. And no doubt the question would have risen time after time. How are we going to extend? How are we going to build this building? In fact, in the following verses, we discover that in beginning to build this college, one of them didn't even have his own axe. He had to borrow it. And when he finally came down to the River Jordan and he began to do the work, what happened? Now the axe head flew off and it flew into the Jordan and it sank down to the bottom. You see, in launching forward, they faced many difficulties. And they faced many problems. When the work of God is progressing, there will always be problems. The devil will be there to throw sand into the machinery of life. Indeed, in the New Testament, the Spirit of God falling upon the infant church, not only were 3,000 souls converted in one day, but more and more souls were converted every single day. Peter and John raising the lame man and preaching Christ and him crucified. We read in Acts 4 in the verse 3. And they laid hands on them and put them in the hole unto the next day. For it was now even time. And the work progressing, it was not long until the dark clouds begun to gather. Peter and John were arrested. They were forbidden to preach the word of God. And they were thrown into the jail cell. You see, when the Savior is working, you can be sure that Satan also will be working. He will be there to hinder and to hurt. In 1904, revival came to Wales through the ministry of Evan Roberts. However, no sooner did souls begin to come to Christ than Peter Price, a congregational minister, condemned the work. He condemned it as a sham, a mockery, a blasphemous travesty of the real thing. What made his words even more tragic was that he had experienced in his own church, previous to that, a minor revival. George Whitefield preaching the gospel of Christ, his greatest opposition came not from the publicans, but his greatest opposition came from the Church of England. One of its most eminent ministers, Dr. Joseph Trapp in London, wrote and preached powerfully against him. And you see, when the work of God begins to prosper, the devil will always be there. He will be there to create problems. He will be there to hinder the work. You see, child of God, if the devil is not bothering you, the reason probably is this: that you're not bothering the devil. You see, if we're progressing, if we're going forward, you can be sure that the devil will not be far away. He will be there to hinder you at every stage of the way. And when there is blessing and God is using you, my friend, be ready, because the devil will not be far away. He will be there whispering in your ear. He will be there to trip you up, to bring you down. And so sooner did these men begin to take the work forward, and there were problems and difficulties. Not only the problem, but you notice secondly here the plan. Seeking to move forward, we read in verse 2. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan. And take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there, where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. Coming before the prophet, they laid their plans before him. They told him what they intended to do and where they intended to do it. Each man taking up his axe, they promised to be personally involved. And laying out their plans, one of the sons of the prophets then turned to Elisha, and he said in verse 3, I pray thee, go with thy servants. Of course, Elisha was no ordinary man. He was God's spokesman, or he was God's representative. You see, before cutting down a single branch, they wanted to make sure that they not only had the prophet's approval, but in having his approval, they had divine approval. You see, before stepping forward, there must always be a supplicating, a making sure that we have divine approval. Indeed, Solomon, speaking from his own experience, he said in Proverbs 19 and the verse 21, "There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand." The word devices there could equally be rendered schemes. In other words, he was saying here, there are many schemes, or there are many ideas in the heart of a man, but only that which is of the Lord will stand. David, realizing this, he going up against the Philistines, flush from an earlier victory, there would have been a temptation in his part to depend upon an old and a successful strategy. My, if it worked yesterday, it'll work today, and more than that, it will work tomorrow. However, rather than depending upon his own ideas, we read in 2 Samuel 5:23, "And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, Thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees." And rather than going forward on the basis of a previous successful strategy, he sought afresh the mind of God. You see, before implementing our plans, there needs to be a seeking of his plan, a making sure that we are in the will of God. The British pastor Frank W. Borum recounts a time when an elderly minister visited his home in New Zealand. Borum, being young and inexperienced, he sought the wisdom and the counsel of his guests. One morning, sitting in the veranda, he said to the minister, "Can a man be sure that in the hour of perplexity he will be rightly led by God? Can he feel secure against making a false step?" The old minister looked up and he said, "I am certain of it. If he will but give God time, as long as you live, remember that. Give God time." And my friend, if you're not sure about that plan, if you're not sure about going down that road, then give God time. Don't rush into the matter. If God hasn't come and God hasn't given guidance, you can be sure that while he might want you to do it in the future, and he might not want you to do it in the future, he most certainly does not want you to do it now. Now we need to seek the mind of God. And these men, they saw the need. The school was too small. But here they were asking the prophet, they were looking his approval, and in looking his approval, they were looking God's approval. If you're not sure, then give God time. Take the matter again before God. Leave it in his throne. Ask him. Oh, we would say tonight, if the Lord does not want it, then don't go that way. Not only the plan, but we notice also the presence, realizing the immensity of the task which lay before them. We read in verse 3, "And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servant. And he answered, I will go." They not only wanted Elisha's company, they wanted his counsel. And I firmly believe that if Elisha had said to those young men, "I will not go with you," I don't believe that they also would have gone. They recognized there would be many decisions to be made, and there would be many difficulties to face. And if he was not going with them, then they did not want to go. They knew they would not succeed. And of course, as we have seen, Elisha was God's representative. And in seeking his His presence. They, in reality, were seeking the divine presence. In effect, they were saying, we will work for the Lord. But we're not willing to work without the Lord. You see, as well as the divine precepts and the divine promises, we need the divine presence. Unless he goes, we must not go. Indeed, many years earlier, Moses, hearing the command of God to rise up and to go forward, he saw many pitfalls, many dangers. And fearing for the future, we read in Exodus 33, 15, and he said unto him, if thy presence goes not with me, carry us not up hence. And he realized that if the Lord did not go with him, then they would be defeated, humiliated, driven back. The presence of the Lord is not only comforting, the presence of the Lord is crucial. Without his support, we cannot succeed. Was that not the mistake of Mary and Joseph? They went up to the temple. They enjoyed the festivities. They enjoyed the time in the temple and worshiping God. But when it was over, they got up and they made their way home. And when they were well out of the city, they suddenly realized that the Lord was not with them. And my friend, can't you picture their panic? Can't you see their fear? Can't you see their anxiety? As suddenly they realized the Lord was not with them. If the Lord goes not with you, then do not go. If you can't take the Lord to that place, then don't go into that place. Make sure that you have his presence with you. You know, when they sought Elisha's permission, he did go. And more than that, he worked with them. And you see, if only you seek divine approval, the Lord will go with you. And more than that, the Lord will work with you. He'll be your help and your support. It was a mammoth task, and they knew we need God's man. We need God's representative. We need him. They were saying we need the Lord. And how we need the Lord. Not only the presence, but notice the people commencing the work. We read in verse 3, and one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. These men were students, Bible students. They were more used to studying books than they were felling trees. However, seeing the need, they didn't feel that felling trees was beneath their dignity, nor did they feel that this was a work too hard for them. Taking up their axes, they coming down to the Jordan, they began to work. Every man gave his time, gave his effort, gave of his resources in the work. Every man has a branch to cut, is a basic principle in the work of God. We're all to be involved. You remember Paul in writing unto the Corinthians, he said in 1 Corinthians 12, 27, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. No two members of the body are identical. One has one function, another has another function. But while they vary in their character and in their job, each must do its part. Let the lungs feel, and it doesn't really matter how good a heart you have or how strong a heart you have, your health will feel. God's work must not only be done according to God's plan, but it must be done by God's people. He has no hands and no feet, but our hands and our feet. And while it's true to say that no man can do everything, yet every man and every woman can do something. We cannot afford the luxury of saying, let someone else might do it. If these sons of the prophets had said, let someone else do it, the school would never have been built. The work of God would never have been carried forward. And believer, God has a work for you to do. He has a service for you to perform. We need to discover that service. And we need to put our hand to the work. Not only the people, but I want you to notice lastly the place. Commencing the work, we read verse 2. Let us go, we pray thee, unto the Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. Having received divine approval, every man grabbing his axe, he made his way down to the Jordan. The Jordan, of course, was no ordinary river flowing into the Dead Sea. It not only symbolized death, but the latter part of the word means judgment. You see, seeking to further the work of God, they had to come down to the place of death, in the place of judgment. And before there can be an ascending into the mountain of blessing, there must be a descending down into the valley of death and judgment, and dying to self and to sin. Indeed, Samson refusing to judge his life and cast off the sin that God had revealed to him. We read in Judges 16, verse 20. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wished not that the Lord was departed from him. And while he at first was not aware that the Spirit of God had left him, yet my living in rebellion, failing to judge his life, to die to sin, there came that awful moment when he realized he no longer had the Spirit of God. He no longer had his strength. And where there is a living for self, there cannot be a doing of service for the Savior. Our work will accomplish nothing. Someone has said, when Christ is on the throne, self is on the cross. When self is on the throne, Christ is on the cross. And if we're going to take on the work of God and we're going to take it forward, we need to come down to the Jordan. There needs to be that place of judgment where we judge our lives, not in the light of society, but we judge our lives in the light of the Word of God. And that being revealed, which is not right, must then be put to death. Must be put to death. There must be that judgment and of sin even in our lives. Now, this was a dark day, a day of apostasy, but God was building his work. God was prospering the work. And to that end, my believer, let us take encouragement. As we have seen in going to build the school, one of the students, he took an axe head and he went down to the river. We're not going to go into it, but just to say that going down to the river, he began to wield the axe and the head came off and it sank down into the depths of the water. And sinking into the depths of the water, weren't they glad that they had taken Elisha, God's representative? Weren't they glad they had taken him with them? He cast the stick into the river. The axe head floated to the top. And in the work of God, you will face many problems and many difficulties. But if you have the Lord with you, he will solve every problem. He will restore that which is lost. Or if you have lost that sharp cutting edge, he's able to restore it. Here was a young man with a vision. And he said, this place is too small for us. And we'll go out and we'll build a bigger school. Oh, that God would give to each of us a vision. A vision for the souls of men and women. That we would never become content. But we'd always be striving, pushing forward, looking even for greater things in the days that lie ahead. May God give us that vision. Just before we come to prayer, perhaps we could turn to our hymn books again, and we'll turn to the hymn 462, the hymn 462, 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know thus saith the Lord. Hymn 462, we'll stand and we'll sing just the first three verses of the hymn. This evening. Do remember that next week the prayer meeting will not be on Tuesday night because next Tuesday the 12th, but the prayer meeting will be on Monday evening. So it'll be next Monday night from 8, shorter time from 8 through to 9 next Monday evening. So do come to the Lord and encourage as many as possible to lay hold upon the Lord this evening. Each of us have burdens, and we encourage you just to bring one or two of those matters as the Lord lays your heart. Them on your heart before the Lord. So do remember the services on the Lord's Day. Do continue to remember the sick. Remember Sister and Mrs. Adair still in the hospital. That the Lord be pleased to touch her. Also Brother Alan Cruikshanks as well. That they might know the Lord's help and nearness at this time. Also do remember, I know there's a number of our brethren have opportunities even on the 12th to speak as well. I know that even Saturday, Dr. Johnson is the speaker down in Ross Nowla. And so do pray for those opportunities, a time of year that probably thousands of gospel tracts are given out as well. So let's really pray that God will use those tracts for the extension even of his kingdom. Also, do remember Sister Mrs. Monteith, our brother-in-law, Mr. David Monteith, Mr. Monteith, he's an elder in our Malvern Church. He passed away last night. Of course, he's also the father of the Reverend Richard Monteith. So I know they would appreciate your prayers at this time as well. So let's come to the Lord. I'd like to encourage as many as possible, just one after another, just to leave your burdens before the Lord. Our gracious God and eternal Heavenly Father, we rejoice that thou art the God of all comfort. And we do remember the Monteith family circle even at this time. We thank you for our brother David. Lord, we can look back and have many fond memories of times of fellowship. We thank thee that he lived a godly life, and we rejoice that he was a man of prayer, and he was a man with a vision. And we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst be with the family circle even at this time. And we think of those even in the family circle who would know thee not as Savior. We ask, Lord, that even as they would gather to that funeral service and the word of God would be proclaimed, that it might be an arrow even in their hearts, that we might hear of souls seeking thee as their own and personal Savior. Lord, hear this our prayer. We pray for others who are going through difficult times. We thank you, Lord, that thou art with us, not just in the mountaintop but in the valley bottoms. And we pray that they might know thy presence very especially at this time in their lives. We pray, our Father, for the going forth of thy word. We thank you for those that were gathered in on the Sabbath day. We thank you for answering prayer for new faces. And we pray, Lord, that thou would speak on in this area. We think the problem that these sons of the prophets had, the building was too small. Lord, it's a problem that we would love to have. And we thank thee that our God is able, that nothing is too hard for thee. We look across our land and we can see many churches, extensions built on in 1859. And Lord, the places became too small. And we know that in many other places, new churches were commenced. And we cry to thee, O God, that thou wouldst come and that thou wouldst work. We thank you that you have a people in this town. But Lord, there are many tonight, and they live for the world, they live for self, they live for sin. And we realize that we're living in a day when people are becoming more hostile to thy word. And Lord, we cry to thee that in wrath remember mercy. Lord, we could not fault thee if thou didst come in judgment, but we pray for mercy. We cry to thee, O God, that even over the next week, and thousands of tracts will be given out. The word of God will be preached and along roadsides and at venues. We ask, Lord, that it might bring forth even a glorious harvest for thyself. We look to thee, Lord. Come and do a new thing. Come do something that we have not experienced before. Something greater than we have even read of before. So, Lord, hear our prayer and wait with us tonight for Jesus' sake.